Well, good afternoon, everyone, and greetings to all of you on the internet. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? In Mark 11, we read a story where Jesus cursed a fig tree, and it, to me anyway, is one of the harder events in Jesus' ministry to understand. Why did he curse the fig tree? And what might be the symbolism of cursing that fig tree? Before we get into the text, let's look a little history and context. Three trees are often mentioned together in the Bible: the olive, the fig, and the vine. And yes, I know the vine's not technically a tree. And they are cited, all cited as blessings, very much associated with Israel. For example, in Deuteronomy 8:7, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of streams of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in valleys and hills." Verse 8, "A land of wheat and barley, of vines, fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey." And of course, we're all familiar with the Micah 4:4, which is referenced often at the feast. "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." So the olive and the vine, They're easier to understand, I guess. In reading Romans 11, if we look at the section from 11 to 24, I think it's safe to conclude that the olive represents God's relation with the nation of Israel. Paul talks there about grafting in wild olive branches into a cultivated olive tree, meaning Gentiles grafted into Israel. And I'll just pick one verse out of there, Romans 11, 17, that says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree." And in John 15, I think it's safe to conclude that the vine represents a personal relationship with Jesus and each believer. Fruit is a byproduct of abiding in Jesus. And I'll pick one verse there. John 15, verse 1 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." So the olive and the vine are relatively easy to kind of pick out what they symbolize. But the fig is harder. The first mention of the fig is in Genesis 3:7. Where Adam and Eve sewed together fig trees to make an apron to cover their nakedness, and then acted like it was normal. One Jewish tradition says that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a fig tree, for whatever that's worth. And the fig leaf came to mean an excuse. In the Bible, in the story of Samson, in Judges 14:4, it says, "However, his father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion," and in Hebrew it says he was seeking a fig leaf against the Philistines. And at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. Here's a quote: "Covering oneself with fig leaves is offering excuses for an embarrassing event or status. Offering an olive branch is an offering of peace, but offering a fig leaf is to offer a temporary cover an excuse. The fig tree has some unusual biology. In general, the green figs appear before the leaves, and the fig tree produces two crops each year, spring and fall. The figs of the spring crop, called the Breba harvest, have been described as a cross between a pear and a potato. And these figs would only be eaten by the poor or the hungry. The main harvest is in the fall, around the Holy Day season, and these are the sweet figs that we can even buy here in the United States. The wood of the fig tree was the preferred wood at the altar in the temple. Poor people would bring fig wood or salt as their gift to the temple. So on the one hand, it's a good, strong tree offering shade and sweet fruit to mankind. On the other hand, it's a symbol of poverty. So we're getting closer to the story in Mark 11. So we'll look at some of the chronology starting in Mark 11, verse 1, where it says, "And they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, and he sent two of his disciples." I just wanted to quote that part of the verse. So this is introducing the story of Jesus, what's called the triumphal entry, where he's riding on a donkey. And we know this to be the day that the lambs were chosen for Passover, that is, the 10th day of the first month. And it's the next day that he curses the fig tree. And note the two towns that are mentioned, Bethany and Bethphage. Bethany means house of poverty. Bethphage means house of unripe figs. So the cursing of the fig tree appears to be a story in two parts. One morning, it's cursed. The next morning, the disciples notice that it's withered. And this is separated, these two stories are separated by the story of the cleansing of the temple. My contention is that it's all one story, and that cleansing the temple is actually the key to understanding why the fig tree was cursed. So if we go back to Mark 11 and jump to verse 12, it says, "On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." There's a number of opinions on that. "And he said to it, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples were listening." Now, that's verse 14. And without a break, it goes into verse 15, where Jesus drives the money changers from the temple. "Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple area and began to drive out those who were selling and buying on the temple grounds. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple grounds. And he began to teach and say to them, 'Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers.' And the chief priests and scribes heard this, and they began seeking how to put him to death, for they were afraid of him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And whenever evening came, they would leave the city," meaning they're going back to Bethany. Verse 20, the story is continuing. And they were passing by in the morning, and they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God." And there's more to the story, but I'll stop there. So, how is cleansing the temple like cursing a fig tree without fruit? I think it's because the fig tree represents religion. That is Israel's corporate, if you will, relationship with God through religion. And that the money changers and the dove sellers are like the leaves without fruit. Worshippers are not fed by this form of godliness. And I doubt that the money changers just showed up in the courtyard of the temple without the blessing of the Pharisees. And I suspect that they probably got a cut of the money. So a fig tree that has no leaves, that has leaves, I mean, and no fruit, is symbolic of a religion that is all show, a false religion. The temple was an example of a religion that no longer produced fruit. I submit that the withered fig tree foreshadowed the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the religion of the scribes and Pharisees. Religion can have fruit and leaves, or just leaves, the form of godliness. Religion can be a great blessing, a source of spiritual food for the people, but it has to have fruit. I mean, think of the centuries when ancient Israel had the tabernacle or the temple. What a blessing it was for the nation. Religion can bring people to God, or when corrupted, be used to exploit people and enrich the leaders. There's a parallel account of the cursing of the fig tree in Matthew 21, which differs from Mark 11 in a few chronological points. Some parables follow. And then in Matthew 23, Jesus gives 8 stern warnings to the scribes and Pharisees. These are also known as the 8 woes, which parallel the 8 blessings from Matthew 5. And I'll read a couple of verses from Matthew 23, 1 through 12 is the section. Starting in verse 1, "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses.'" Skipping to verse 5, "And they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, like leaves." Verse 6, "And they love the place of honor at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues, and personal greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by the people." These 8 woes begin in Matthew 23, verse 13, and they carry on through verse 33. I don't have time to read all that, but I encourage you all to do so. And all but one of these woes begin with the word, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Over and over again, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Jesus gave his strongest rebuke to the leaders of the temple, the ones who sat in Moses' seat. While we all have to watch ourselves for hypocrisy, he aimed these woes at the leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, the shepherds, not the sheep. So, with unleavened bread just 4 weeks away, the lesson of the cursed fig tree reminds all of us to uproot the leaven of hypocrisy in our lives.